Let me ask you intuitively, do you think little boys or little girls are more naturally compliant, more naturally yielding to authority? Mark Hancock thinks the answer to that is pretty clear.
You've seen the substitute teacher walks into the room and says, well, I'm your substitute today. Well, the girls say, okay, I get this. I understand you're in charge. Well, boys want to know. They want to test that person a little bit because they have to know, are you really in charge? I need to know because I know these other boys in my classroom, and if you can't handle this, Mr. Substitute Teacher, you don't know what can happen in here. And so they're pushing that. They're trying to establish the boundaries because they want to know somebody is solidly in charge.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. How can we as parents, as grown-ups, recognize what's going on in the hearts of little boys and help them learn how to yield to authority and other things they need to learn in order to be successful in life? We're going to talk with Mark Hancock about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So I need your help on whether I thought rightly about this. Here's what happened the other day. I have this rule, this kind of life rule. I will buy whatever the Boy Scouts are selling or whatever the Girl Scouts are selling. I mean, I'm an easy mark. Come to my door. I'm going to buy from that. Okay?
Wow, you just advertised that on radio.
I didn't give my address.
Yeah, you didn't.
So I'm an Eagle Scout. I grew up going to Scott. I sold stuff. I just think when kids are selling wrapping paper for school or stuff, you buy some of that, right? It's a part of how you support things. Well, the other day I'm walking into the grocery store and there were two young women dressed in, they were wearing Boy Scout uniforms and they were selling tickets so that they could go to Boy Scout camp this summer. And I said, not today, and walked down into the grocery store. And I walked in and I thought, I just broke my rule. I just broke the rule of you buy from these kids who are selling this stuff and you help them with this experience. But there was just this thing that.
Yeah, what was that thing, Bob?
It was that thing. And we're treading into some choppy water here, and I get it. But I was conflicted. I thought, these are lovely young women, and I want to support them. But I'm a Boy Scout, and I in my mind, it was like, no, if you were selling Girl Scout cookies, I'd buy a couple of packs from you. But tickets for you to go to Boy Scout camp, it's just that it's the blurring of the lines between what's the difference. And of course, Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting both are very different today than they were when I was growing up in them. And they're dealing with all of this. And that's why Boy Scouts are now boys and girls. And I don't know if Girl Scouts are girls and boys. I don't know where it's gotten to. But I just found myself violating my cardinal rule and thinking, did I do the right thing? So did I do the right thing?
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm going to let my wife answer.
I'm not even going to answer that one. But I'm wondering, would your Boy Scout experience have been different had girls been involved?
Well, of course it would. Yeah. Because getting together with boys and going camping and going hiking and doing and learning all of these things. Yes, I would have acted different. I was taught to act different if there are girls around. And we wouldn't have gone out and thrown the football around as much as we did, or we wouldn't have gone out and wrestled like we wrestled when we were Boy Scouts. It would have been a different – yeah, you know who I should ask if I did right or wrong is the guy who heads Trail Life USA.
Hey, you know what? He's sitting
he's
here.
Right here.
Oh, yeah. Let's put it on him.
Let's drag him into this conversation.
I bet he's never been asked this before.
He is grimacing.
I know.
Mark Hancock joins us again on Family Life Today, and he's kind of sad he did join us on Family Life Today at this point, I think. Mark, welcome back.
I think it's okay to be here.
Yeah. So you know the dilemma I'm talking about.
Yeah, we hear about that a lot. And it really is, you know, Boy Scouts has an amazing legacy. They give presidents and senators and leaders and civic leaders.
Radio hosts.
Astronauts.
famous ones.
But they've decided in the last few years that whatever that secret sauce was is going to work for boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are struggling like you are. I'm not sure. I can't quite identify what's wrong with that, except that I know that it just doesn't sit right with me. And it's because I think we know intuitively that boys and girls are different, and delivering the same program to boys and girls is not going to get the same results.
And it's not. I didn't want to deprive these girls of anything. Mm-hmm. I'd love for them to go have a great week of camping, and I'd love for them to experience all that I experienced. You're not trying to withhold anything, but you're trying to say there's something special that happens when we acknowledge boys are boys and girls are girls, and they ought to have time together, and they ought to be allowed to live how they want to live and act out. So at Trail Life USA, that you give leadership to, which is an alternative, a Christian alternative to Boy Scouts, you don't have girls in Trail Life, right?
No, we don't. We are both unapologetically Christian. We are specifically boy-focused.
And have you gotten criticism for not letting girls be a part of Trail Life?
No, because I think that for the most part, parents understand. Any engaged parent or any teacher who's paying attention knows that boys and girls are different. And we know the power even in our own lives, just what you describe. It's hard for you to put words to it, but we know that there's something that happens when men gather together, and there's something that happens when women gather together. And when you begin to blur those lines, you lose something. Mm-hmm. And it's not that girls need to be punished by not having a program. It's just that there's programs that cater specifically to girls that are built for them and designed for them, like American Heritage Girls is a great program for girls. And Trail Life USA is the alternative for
boys.
And
let me just say right off the top here, there are godly guys I know who are leading Boy Scout troops.
Yep.
And so God's still at work in the Boy Scouts.
Sure.
God's still at work in the Girl Scouts. There's good stuff that's happening there. There are some decisions that leadership have made in both organizations that I'd look at and go, I'm not sure that's good for your organization, but I know that there are dads raising their sons in Boy Scouting, and they would say this is important. And so we're not here to try to bash the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. We're here to say we got to acknowledge that there's a difference between boys and girls, and we've got to know as parents, as moms and dads, how do we support that and how do we encourage that?
And Mark, you're not saying boys are more important than girls.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But we think that boys and girls each need their own programs that's catered to their specific needs and their strengths.
Well, it's interesting. We have two retreats at our church year where we have 1,200 men go to a men's retreat. Then we have 1,200 women come to a women's retreat.
It's always 1,201 women. They always have more women.
Yeah, we actually do.
They're not competitive, but we hear that every year. Oh, how many women do we have?
And so I've done a lot of things with just women's group. I've even took a group of 50 women to Israel. And I said, what would this be like if your husbands or your sons or your boyfriends were on this trip or at this retreat? And the women said, oh, it would totally change things, mm-hmm. because I am always aware of my husband or another man sitting beside me, and I'm just aware of their presence, and I may not have the freedom mm-hmm. to act as I would with all women. And I think that's true for the men as well.
I can speak for the men's retreat, and Bob knows this, you know, from speaking at the Weekend to Remember when we on Sunday morning split up the wives and moms together and the men. Just to be able to address things men need to address with men only and women only, mm-hmm. it's life-changing.
It's one of the more powerful moments in the weekend, yeah.
What happens there would not happen with the opposite sex in the room. And there's beautiful things that happen when we're both together, but there's a unique thing that happens when boys can be boys, men can be men, women can be women, that you're sort of tapping into. We are uniquely designed by God differently. Not more important, just differently. Mm-hmm. And so it requires a different strategy. So talk about your three-part strategy to help boys be boys and then become men.
Well, we're encouraging leaders of boys, whether it's in Trail Life or in other organizations, to pay attention to the differences between boys and girls and create learning opportunities that are specifically tailored to them. And so what we ask them to do first is recognize that boys and girls are different. It's not a social construct. A social construct does not change the structure of our eyes. Social construct does not account for the fact that young girls can hear 10 times better than young boys. Well, in a classroom, it looks with a soft-spoken teacher.
Say that again.
Wait. I
didn't hear it.
Say that again.
He didn't hear it.
Yeah, that's really true.
Young girls can hear 10 times better than boys.
This all makes sense now, I just have to say, because of all the times I would address my sons, and I learned I couldn't just call them in the other room. I would have to go touch them, have them look me in the eye, and make sure that they heard me. Mm-hmm. Whereas when a girl was in the house, she instantly responded.
Yeah.
So is that why?
In a classroom setting, what do you think that's going to look like? That's going to look like boys aren't paying attention and they must be ADHD or they must be rebellious or whatever. We'll have to punish them or tell them to pay attention. But it's just a biological truth. It's not a social construct. They don't learn to shut down their hearing. They don't learn to be able to see things that are far away and moving much more easily than they see something up close. And so that coloring in that classroom or filling out a worksheet is a horrible task for that boy when the girls are sitting there and doing their little doodles and having a great time. So it's not a social construct. And the way that their brains are wired, you can't do that. We can't create that in our culture by the way that we raise our kids. They're built that way.
So if somebody is standing in front of an open refrigerator and they're looking for eggs, and the eggs are right there on the second shelf, and they're going, where are the eggs? Is that person a man or a woman who is standing there and can't see the eggs? Which is it?
I think we're solving a question that you came up with at home or something.
Bob, this is you and Dave, actually.
And I know.
Yeah, but I'm not taking sides with it.
That's smart, Mark. That's very smart.
Acknowledging that boys and girls are different, again, to Dave's point, not better,
right,
but different, you say that with that acknowledgement, here are some things that parents need to be doing, that teachers need to be doing, that leaders need to be doing as they raise boys. Use plenty of volume.
Yes.
Needs to be louder with boys than it is with girls?
Absolutely. And that's going to terrify girls if you're loud in a classroom. So that's why it just really works better if you're separating the kids.
And you say lots of voice fluctuation and hand motions as well?
Yeah, because boys are visual, especially at a distance. You've got to engage them because they're going to be distracted by something that's moving because their eyes were designed for that. And when you think about it, what did God want them to do?
Provide food.
And so they're going to be more sensitive to objects moving in the distance.
When I teach young boys, whether it's Sunday school or any opportunity, I usually have a ball in my hand and I throw it at boys.
Yep.
Just toss it around, yeah. And they are just—they're engaged because they know there's movement. I've never connected those dots, but I know they're engaged. Now, do I do that with girls? Not so much.
Yeah. It might be frightening if you were tossing balls their direction.
It is frightening because he's thrown those balls around with girls in the room and hurt them. And so it doesn't go quite as well when the girls are in. Girls can't catch. I'm going to say that.
I was going to say I've hurt boys too. And I've had some girls catch a lot better than boys.
Yes.
But, yeah.
You say that it's important to change topics every few minutes in order for boys to stay interested. Mm-hmm. Boys are processing through a lot of channels at once. Mm-hmm. And boys have grown up in a multi-channel world, and we need to acknowledge that.
Absolutely. We can't just give them a 30-hour lecture on something and expect them to stay engaged. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to. Even as adults, it's hard for us because in our culture right now, we have so many channels that are coming to us at the same time, speaking to us on our cell phones. If you look at a TV screen, so many messages are coming through at once, and we have to teach that way. We can't just have one person standing there in a monotone voice teaching them. We will lose them. Their mind will find something else to look at.
You also emphasize the need for risk and competition.
Yeah.
And if you got 30 kids competing, 30 boys competing in something, and one is going to win, what do we call the other 29?
Second place.
Losers. Yes.
And so you understand where moms and dads or teachers go, we don't want to have 29 losers and one winner.
I don't want my child to feel bad about themselves
and we're think fearful of themselves as a loser.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we need that experience. We need to know that there are things that we are good at and there are things that we're not as good as somebody else at. We don't have a level playing field. That isn't real life at all. And so if boys can learn the things that they excel at and they can learn, well, that's not my thing, that's okay. You know, boys have a tendency to believe that they can do anything before they do it. Mm-hmm. They just think, oh, yeah, they see it one time on YouTube and they've got it nailed. And if we don't give them the opportunity to try things and fail, then they develop this narcissistic approach to the world. Just like, oh, I can do that, but they don't. They don't step out and do it. They just, in their mind, they've already assumed that they can. So we encourage risk and competition. We tell the leaders, mix it up some. If you're concerned about a boy losing all the time, mix it up. You can do teams. Let him, you know, move it around so he's on a winning team every once in a while. Give him the experience of winning and succeeding and doing well. Give him the experience of losing, and life doesn't end. You just recover and you go back and you play harder
in
the next
game. And maybe it's not necessarily sports. Could you have other kind of competitions besides sports? Where is sports necessary?
Well, the physical activity is very valuable for boys. It does get the blood pumping, and they need that. They know that intuitively, which is why they fidget in their chair when you're trying to get them to sit still and do their paperwork. They've got to move in order to learn. But certainly you can mix other things in there so that you have the opportunity for them to excel in areas where their strengths are.
What kind of things do you do with the boys in Trail Life?
Well, Trail Life is an outdoor organization. Now, we have skills that we're learning on a weekly basis. Most part, that's where they're learning the knot tying, and there's badges and all that sort of work. So that's inside instruction for the most part. But then they go outdoors, and they practice those skills outside, and they exercise those skills outside. And we encourage our troop leaders to make sure you got the physical activity worked in your group. You're taking frequent breaks. And I encourage them, spend as much time planning your break as you do planning your lesson, because that physical break is just as valuable. It's the fuel that allows that learning to jet into the brain and find its place. You've got to have that activity planned and well-functioning and well thought out in order for the learning to find its place.
So don't just take a break. We're going to take a five-minute break. You guys can run around. You're saying have something planned in the break?
That break time, that activity is just as valuable as the lesson. We have to remember that.
Yeah, you know, I know that with our boys, you know, as you watch them, even very young, to see what they're good at and they're gifted at, you could see they weren't all going to be athletes, pro athletes, college athletes, you name it. But one of the things we did as parents is we got them involved in different sports, not because that was going to be their thing, but because of the risk, because of the adventure, because of the competition, because of the interaction with other boys. And it was really something you look back on. They learned. And one of the best things about that is they lost a lot. You know, I coached one of their teams in basketball, and we were 0-12. It was bad players. No coaching errors in that thing. But, I mean, even walking through that season, are they ever going to be even high school basketball players? None of them.
Yeah.
But, man, it was an adventure. And help them understand what it was like. And I think the losing part of it, and back then there were no participatory trophies. They were first place and everybody else. And so it was good for them to learn that.
That's where character is built, in those kind of situations where you find out, oh, you know, I thought I could do everything. I found out that I've got to humble myself a little bit. Maybe there's some things that I can't do that I'm going to have to work harder at, that I'm going to have to practice or study for, I'm going to have to work for. I'm not going to be handed it. That's a great place to learn. Losing is a wonderful place to learn.
Now, when can competition be bad? When does it get out of whack with a boy or a girl, but especially with a boy?
Well, you have to follow the three rules for boys. You have to give them a secure sense of who's in charge. They have to know who's with them, who's on their team, and they have to know what their mission is. And so if you've got a person who's clearly in charge and in a trailer situation, that's going to be a child safety, youth protection, background checked adult who's watching that room, they're setting the rules. And boys want rules. They're going to test rules. You've seen the substitute teacher walks into the room and says, oh, I'm your substitute today. Well, the girls say, okay, I get this. I understand you're in charge. Well, boys want to know. They want to test that person a little bit because they have to know, are you really in charge? I'm going to push that boundary a little. I'm going to find out if you are really going to, and what it really comes down to is, am I safe? Mm-hmm. Is somebody answering that who's in charge question? I need to know because I know these other boys in my classroom, and if you can't handle this, Mr. Substitute Teacher, you don't know what can happen in here. And so they're pushing that. They're trying to establish the boundaries because they want to know somebody is solidly in charge. So you're trusting that in that sense, doing that kind of read that you're talking about, there's an adult there who has an adult perspective, frontal lobe fully developed, who can say, that's dangerous, that isn't.
It's interesting. We had one of our youth pastors at church. He has a vision for reaching kids in the school, and so he became a substitute teacher. And he said instantly he knows when he walks into a classroom who's the kid that's going to give him a hard time and the troublemaker. And instantly, he also says he used to be that kid. And so when this boy walked into the classroom and started pushing back and who are you, what are you, he instantly know, oh, this is the guy that's the troublemaker. Mm-hmm. And so he said, hey, you know what? I'm wondering if today you could help me out because I need a leader. And he was astounded by this kid suddenly was no longer the bad kid, but the leader. And he was asked for help. And he said it was incredible the power I could see that those words had on that boy of saying, this is what I see in you. Could you help me?
Yeah, he answered two of those three questions. He says, I'm in charge, but I'm assigning you a leadership role, so I've given you a mission. So you know who's in charge, and you know what our mission is together, and you're with me in accomplishing this mission. Once that boy has those questions answered, he's good to go.
And that's what he said. This kid was amazing and helpful.
And your third strategy has to do with physical movement. Talk about that.
And we've hit on some of that. Boys have to move in order to be engaged. They have to have breaks. You know, in our culture, we're removing recess. We've completely removed recess in many cases, and we expect those boys to sit in that classroom, sit still, be quiet, pay attention for the entire school day. And any psychiatrist, any physiologist will tell you he's got to have motion. We got to keep those boys moving.
So I'm thinking about the parents whose sons are coming home from school, throwing down their books, grabbing their PlayStation controls, and for the next half hour to maybe 6 hours, the kids are sitting there glued to watching somebody on a screen run around, even though they're not running around. You're saying a mom or a dad needs to say, hang on, time out, turn off the set, go out in the backyard, run around.
Absolutely. They need to have that physical break. Now, they're trying to solve their issue there about risk and competition. They're entering that video game world in order to have that opportunity, but you've got to give them that physical break also.
Oh, I can remember our boys coming home from school, and Ann remembers this, and, you know, it's almost dinner time or almost bedtime, and they're so wound up. You're never going to settle down, just driving us crazy. And I would go, all right, line up. Let's go. We're doing 100-yard sprints for the next 20 minutes. And we would just run.
In the snow, mind you. Because
just to get it out of them so they would actually settle down and go to bed. And it actually worked. That's the physical movement. And risk and competition.
Mary Ann would send the boys out in the backyard and say, okay, 100 sticks. Go pick up 100 sticks. You get a penny a stick.
Nice.
And go gather them up, and they would go out and they'd gather up their sticks in their piles. We'd get some of the sticks picked up in the backyard. They'd get a buck for doing it, and they're walking around. They've got a goal. Mm-hmm. They know what the assignment is. They're on the team, and there's a reward for it. Yeah. And wind sprints are good for your boys. Get it worked out of them, right?
Oh, yeah, and we used to play, and I'm going to look over at the queen of this.
Yes.
Capture the flag.
Yeah.
Our house.
Your wife was the queen of Capture
the
Flag?
She was the queen, and she was revered by the boys in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, too, because I remember the boys saying, Mom, come out and play with us. We need you to do this. And every part of me wanted to say, no, I need to do so much in the house. Yeah. Yeah. But I remember this one time I said, all right. And so I go outside, and the oldest was like a teenager, 13 years old. So we've got like 5 to 13-year-old mm-hmm. boys. And I remember my team, they were in prison, and I needed to release them. And so I am running as hard as I can through the woods to release my team from prison. The branches are hitting my face. My shoe falls off. But I get them out, and we win. And I remember telling the boys, like, boy, something happened to my eye. I feel like something's in it. The next morning I woke up, I could not even open my eye because it was so swollen. So I have to go to the eye doctor. I find out I have a thorn in my eye.
Ooh.
Which has to be surgically removed.
Oh, my goodness.
So then later, I can hear all those same boys that had been over the night before, and I hear our son say, hey, did you know that my mom got a thorn in her eye playing Capture the Flag? And this other kid says, dude, your mom is awesome. I was like famous in the neighborhood.
She still is.
As moms, we think, oh, I don't want to do this. We're tired. Dads think the same thing, especially after work. We're all exhausted. Yeah. But our kids need us to engage with them. And sometimes that looks physically, we're engaging and pulling that out of them.
Yeah, let me address that real quick, because there's the single mom out there who doesn't have the dad who's coming home and taking them all outside. And there's a single mom who may not have the physical abilities or desire or time to do what it is that you were able to do. And that's just such a tragedy. You know, they did a study on the Head Start program, and the number one thing that they found, that the predictor of success for Head Start, was, is there a dad in the household? Mm-hmm. And it's because you got that dad who walks in the door, Dave, like you did 100 times or 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, and the boys are sitting there quietly because mom's got them quiet. And you come in and you throw one to the floor and kick them and throw them over and whatever. And then you go to the bedroom to go shower or whatever, get ready for dinner, and they're all fired up now. but they learn to bring it back down again. And they have that opportunity of getting fired up and bring it down, fired up and bring it down. Well, boys without that experience, they don't know how to turn that knob back down again. And so they show up at school and think something exciting happens and they just can't get back into place. So in Trail Off USA, we pay attention to those boys who don't have dads. It's really in my heart. It's a big piece of what God's doing in the program by taking father likes. And I would encourage men who are listening, if you don't have a son at home, there's a boy somewhere that needs your influence in his life. And reach out to the boy. You're not his father, but you can be a father-like, and you can provide that thing for him that he so desperately needs, a tussling of the hair, a little punch of the arm, just some sort of just kind of physical connection that's going to give that boy what he just isn't getting at home, because his mom, as wonderful as that single mom is and the struggles that those single moms have, there is just this piece that boys need that they can only get from their dads, and they're desperate for that touch.
And you know what's interesting is I was that boy. Single mom.
Yeah.
I can remember. Mm-hmm. Now I appreciate it. Her mm-hmm. grabbing the ball gloves. Mm-hmm. I'm 8, 9, 10, saying, let's go out in the back and play catch. Mm-hmm. My mom, mm-hmm. who now I know, oh, man, that's the last thing she wanted to do. I do remember I was 12. She would get down in catcher stance, catcher's mask on.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I remember at 12, I was throwing, you know, pitching, and she just walks up and she goes, okay, I'm done. I can't handle your fastball anymore. But she also got me involved in Boy Scouts,
yeah.
Weebelows,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big Brother. I had a big brother mm-hmm. who she just knew there had to be other men in her life, but she did both. She was the one that said, my son needs activity, he needs risk and competition. I can provide some of that, but I also need somebody to come alongside me. So I'd say to all the single moms, you can do it and get help.
Yeah.
There's people that can help you, and Trail Life is a great ministry to come alongside you.
In fact, we got information about Trail Life on our website at familylifetoday.com. Tell everybody about the event you've got coming up in July.
July 21st through 27th in Toccoa, Georgia, is our Summer Adventure and Family Convention with Dennis Rainey.
Yeah. Dennis is going to be speaking at that, and this is for families to come together. The boys can get involved in Trail Life activities. Mom and Dad can stay in the hotel if they want to stay in the hotel, or if Dad wants to go out and camp with the boys, he can do that, right?
Absolutely.
And you've got program going on for both during the week that they're in Georgia. And again, there's more information about the event on our website at familylifetoday.com. Mark, thanks for helping us just think clearly about how we can help our boys be boys.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And I'm hoping that a lot of our listeners will go to familylifetoday.com, not only to find out about the Rise Up event, but we've got a copy of a booklet that you've written called Let Boys Be Boys that is available for free download. So again, go to familylifetoday.com and you can download Mark's booklet. Click on the link and find out more about Trail Life. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. Talking today about investing in the lives of young men, David Robbins, the president of Family Life, is here with us. You heard a great story this week about guys who invested over a period of time in younger men, right?
Yeah, I was in small group, and one of the other dads in my small group is a high school principal at a local high school here. And he was talking about these two dads who, starting in sixth grade, weekly would meet with this group of guys, with their sons and some of their friends. And they've done that over the last 6 years. And sure enough, these kids just graduated. And he was just making this remark of how their character just shines, and the way they treat people and their love for Jesus and authenticity and the way they push each other in accountability and in relationships. So he actually brought those dads into his office and was taking all these notes and was showing me these notes. And then he said it, one of the dads' names. And I go, oh my goodness, is his son named Ben? And he goes, well, yeah, Ben's his oldest son. And I go, Ben is a guy who is investing in a group of seventh graders every other Wednesday night. And my son, my oldest son, is one of them. And so it was just this amazing moment of realizing not only are these seniors shaped and as they get launched into college and beginning their adulting years, the intentionality of investing in young men not only shapes them in the current, but it also shapes how they end up investing their lives later.
2 Timothy 2:2 at work right here, right?
That's right.
That which you've heard from me, you pass on to faithful men who will share it with others.
That's right.
Thank you, David. One final note before we wrap up for this week, talking about making disciples. Every year in February for the last 9 years, we have had an event that has been about making disciples, about strengthening marriages. It's the Family Life Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, and our 10th anniversary cruise, which will happen in February of 2020, is almost sold out, but we have reserved one cabin that is still available for a couple who joins us this summer in our Stronger Forever Marriage Workout Plan. This is not an exercise plan. Well, it is. It's a relationship exercise plan. It's a series of relationship exercises that couples can do during the summer to help you strengthen your marriage, help you strengthen your cardio, get your heart beating a little faster, or build relationship strength, relationship muscle. Again, find out about the Stronger Forever Marriage Workout Plan when you go to our website, familylifetoday.com. And when you sign up and download the workouts, you will be automatically registered to perhaps win an all-expense-paid trip on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, the 10th anniversary cruise in 2020. No purchase necessary to enter. The contest begins July 1st, 2019. It ends on August 30th, 2019. The official rules can be found at familylife.com/strongerforever. Sign up today, and who knows, maybe you'll be selected to join us as our guests on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise in 2020. And we hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And then join us back on Monday when we're going to talk about what couples who are thinking about marriage need to be thinking about. What are the key issues you should be tackling as you prepare for marriage? Scott Kadersha is going to join us. He's written a book called Ready or Not. That's K-N-O-T. And we'll talk with him about tying the knot on Monday. Hope you can join us for that. Want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. A crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.